food and physical health affects mental health, and really drill down to how food affects your mental health. And so, thanks for being with us, Dr. Keith Cantor.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, so you heard what I'm looking for. How does food, what we eat, affect our mental health?
Well, it's not just mental health, it's substance abuse and mental health, which is what I do with my program. It's called the NAMED program: Nutritional Addiction Mitigation, Eating and Drinking. And if you want me to just do mental health, I could do that.
Talk about what you do, the substance abuse too. Talk about the NAMED program.
Well, what the NAMED program does is it uses specific menus and a special type of water to help the physical aspect of substance abuse and mental illness. And you still need a therapist, and I work through therapists with the patients, because they still need to know why they have the problem, not just physically. I can handle, well, my program handles the physical part, which makes it much easier for the therapist, the medical professional, to handle the medical, mental part of the problem. But let me explain real quick what addiction is. Because most people don't realize addiction, just like mental health, is a disease. As a matter of fact, I'm vice president of NAMI, my local chapter, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and substance abuse is considered a mental illness. And what happens is, when we take in certain substances, you know, drugs, alcohol, etc., it stimulates something called the opiate receptors, which we have hundreds of thousands in our body, in our brain, our spinal cord, and our gastrointestinal tract. When they get stimulated, they release chemicals. These chemicals then go to the upper brain, the upper cortex, and activate the dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter. That's the feel-good neurotransmitter. And that goes to the middle brain, which is the pleasure center, and it gives us pleasure. And then another chemical goes up called gluconate, and that's what puts all those little nooks and crannies in the brain when you see the picture, and that's the memories. And when that happens and goes back and forth many times, it totally takes over the pleasure center, where pleasure is then means survival, basically. So for drugs and mental illness, there's no difference anymore between pleasure and survival, and you need that for survival, and that's what addiction is a total taking over of the pleasure center, which takes over the upper cortex, which is our reasoning part, and we don't have any reasoning anymore. That's where we make decisions, and it just takes it over, and the pleasure is all we care about, and we're getting the pleasure from the drugs or the mental illness, and that's what addiction really is.
Okay, so you get to a point where the brain equates, it feels the same chemicals from the drugs and the pleasure as it does from survival.
That's correct. That's pleasure equals survival all of a sudden over a period of time. There's no difference to it.
How did you figure all this stuff out?
Well, first of all, I didn't figure it all out. But through research, and I have a PhD in nutritional science and a doctorate in naturopathic medicine, which, by the way, I got from Northeastern University, which you might have possibly heard of.
Yes, I go to the Punter's Pub all the time.
And through studying it and working with patients and working with clinics, and of course using other doctors, I was able to realize that the opiate receptors are stimulated not just by drugs and alcohol, but by foods. And one of the ways you'll know this, or an easy way to notice this, is if you ever go to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, you'll see almost everybody there smokes and everybody's eating candy. And that's because nicotine stimulates the opiate receptors and causes the dopamine response, and sugar definitely causes it, because you could get addicted to sugar. I'm sure you've heard of the book, Sugar's More Addicting Than Cocaine.
No, but I believe it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's actually more addicting than cocaine, but sugar's the single biggest addiction that we have in America.
You know what, I've said a few times on the radio that we're at the point now with sugar where they were in the 1950s with cigarettes. It's a drug, and they thought it was cool, and they jammed everything. You know, you used it all the time, smoked all the time, and now sugar is as omnipresent as that tobacco was then. Do you think we'll get to a point with sugar that we're at with cigarettes now, and it will be known to be a deadly drug?
Yeah, well, it's most doctors know that already, and any medical book you read or any research you do says that sugar is addicting. I just did a paper on it, and it is addicting, and it causes, through that addiction, it causes diabetes type 2 and obesity, and both of those diseases cause things like heart disease, cancer, etc. It's actually the number one killer in the United States. Yes, it's causing what we think is the number one killer, which is heart attacks or heart disease.
And I also say, if we get sugar under control, just think of the reduction in the health care expenditures.
If we were able to get sugar under control and inflammation under control, which is caused by our acidic diet, and sugar is very acidic, we would not have a health care problem in this country. 85%, and this is from the CDC, of all diseases are nutrition related, and 85% of all diseases are adversely affected by inflammation, internal inflammation. I don't mean a sprained ankle. I mean inflammation which causes heart problems, throws the insulin mechanism off, which gets back to the sugar problem because it causes insulin resistance, diabetes, etc.
So, all right, we're going to take a break, and I want to continue a little bit more with the inflammation side.
And then I'll go into the mental illness for you.
Okay. And that's coming up after this on WBZ.
That's why we're here to talk. Now, what do you say?
Jay Talking with Bradley J. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Go to who practices oral conscious sedation.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking about Dr. Mark R. Turner of Taunton.
I've got such high anxiety about having dental work done, and I love the idea of not feeling anything or remembering I was there.
Before I started seeing him, I used to have to go to my old dentist all the time, multiple painful visits. Now with Dr. Turner, most procedures only take one trip, and my anxiety is gone.
Do you know if he does dental implants?
He sure does.
I lost a tooth, and I heard that an implant would be an excellent way to replace it.
He did a few dental implants for my brother, and he used his new CEREC machine. He finished in one visit the work that takes other dentists multiple visits to do. Yeah, you should call Dr. Mark R. Turner for an appointment.
For more information about oral conscious sedation and dental implants, call Dr. Mark Turner of Taunton, 508-822-9387. 508-822-9387. Online at markrturnerdds.com, where the R stands for relax.
Megan's House in Lowell is a comprehensive residential substance abuse treatment home for young women between the ages of 18 and 26 who struggle with addiction. It offers a holistic approach to recovery, emphasizing dignity, self-respect, and empowerment. To date, Megan's House has provided help and hope to more than 100 young women from 79 different communities. To help make a difference in the lives of young women in recovery, visit themeganhouse.org or wbz.com/wbzcares.
What do you say?
We have got some real serious talking to do.
You know, you can use radio so you can talk to people.
I'm all ears.
I'll be all around in the dark.
Bradley J. WBZ. News Radio 1030.
Dr. Keith Cancer talking about nutrition, food, and its relationship to addiction and mental health. Did I get it a little better?
Yeah, that, you got both of them this time.
Okay, good. And we were going through sugar, and we will swing it back around to the mental health part. But you mentioned inflammation, and I periodically periodically hear about inflammation and how it's a cause of a lot of diseases. Actually, I had a guest who had a book, and she recommended a bunch of supplements, and I took them, and they almost made me crazy, so I dumped them in the toilet. But it was designed to reduce inflammation, and can you talk about that?
Yes.
How does it, and what it causes?
Okay. Inflammation is caused by acidity. Our pH is supposed to be between 7.35 and 7.45, with 7 being neutral, above 7 being alkaline, below 7 being acidic. Because of the way we eat and drink, alcohol, sugar, gluten, dairy products, additives, preservatives, dyes, nicotine, caffeine, and of course regular drugs, and also sugar substitutes except for stevia, we have a very acidic diet. So acidity causes acidosis, and acidosis causes inflammation. Inflammation is swelling inside of our body in different spots, and you can get it near your heart. It throws off the insulin mechanism, either giving us a craving for sugar or nothing, and then tells all of our cells to drop the sugar that they're holding, and it does the same thing. And inflammation adversely affects 85% of all diseases, including our heart disease, diabetes, and things like that. So my program is designed to not stimulate the opiate receptors and to get rid of inflammation, and I do that with diet and food and a special water. And the water is a hydroxide alkaline water. And hydroxide, without getting too chemically for you, has OH in it. It's made from limestone. And OH negative is hydroxide. That'll run around like a little Pac-Man and look for hydrogen protons, which it could pull off of acids or from H3O. When it does that, you have an H plus an OH and it forms water, and it takes the acid out of the body. And when you get rid of the acid, you get rid of the acidosis, you get rid of the inflammation. And it's very easy to do that way. The one I use is all natural. It's made from limestone. There's no electrolysis. There's no minerals added. And it's a concentrate, so it's actually very inexpensive. And it's called Aqua OH.
Okay, so the inflammation and sugar, how does that cause or worsen dependence on drugs and things?
Well, what happens is, are you talking about how does the inflammation worsen it or how does sugar
worsen it? For inflammation, I'm bringing it back around full circle.
Okay. What inflammation does is it throws off the, one of the things it does is it throws off the insulin mechanism. So now we become insulin resistant and our body craves sugar. When we have sugar, we stimulate the opiate receptors. When we stimulate the opiate receptors, then that goes to the upper brain and it releases dopamine, which is that's why you take drugs, basically. And alcohol is to get the dopamine. That's the feel-good neurotransmitter. And as soon as you get that, the body wants more. And if you're addicted or used to taking any drugs or alcohol, that's what it'll tell your body you need.
So we can change our diet and break the cycle?
That's correct. If you eat an all-natural diet, stay away from the things that stimulate your opiate receptors, which then goes to the dopamine, that'll help. Now, you still need a therapist to figure out why you started taking the drugs in the first place. But the difference is right now, throughout the United States, 85% of the people relapse when they just go through a regular center, and they all have different rates, but this is from the Veterans Administration that has a very good program. They have an 85% relapse rate. When you add the special diet to it, my relapse rate is about 45%, which is still terrible, but it's a lot better than 85%.
What are some foods that we can switch to and try to eat more of that will help break the whole sugar?
Well, let me tell you the foods to stay away from first. Sugar, all sugar substitutes except for stevia, gluten, dairy products, any processed foods that have additives, preservatives, dyes in it, nicotine, caffeine, and of course drugs and alcohol. If you stay away from those foods and eat healthy proteins, healthy fats, complex carbohydrates from mostly fruits and vegetables, and unprocessed gluten-free grains, you'll be in good shape. And they could go to my website and get a free diet, you know, just to see it. It's namedprogram.com, N-A-M-E-D program.com, and you just, I think you have to put in your name and email address, and it sends it to you right away.
Okay.
Now let's go to, you have enough time to do mental illness?
Wait a minute, yes, but can you give me some examples of the foods? You gave me categories of foods, like, to include in the diet?
Sure. I'll read off a diet to you real quick. I had one out here just in case you were ready.
Some actual foods?
That yeah, real foods.
Well, that's okay. We got to move on. Go
okay.
To the mental health part then.
Okay. Well, here's the diet I just found.
Oh, all right.
So, okay. So, I'll just do one day. For yeah. breakfast, you have pumpkin muffins and eggs. For a snack, you have almonds and walnuts, which have healthy fats in it. For lunch, you have a black bean salad with a 3-ounce chicken breast. For a snack, you have a plum. And then for dinner, you have a chicken, pepper, and onion pasta, gluten-free.
Why is it? I don't think that I'm gluten-sensitive. Do I need to avoid gluten?
Yes.
How come?
Well, number one, it stimulates the opiate receptors.
Oh.
And number two, the body isn't used to it the way our wheat is now, you know, after all these years.
Yeah.
So we get an autoimmune response from it because we think it's a foreign entity coming. So we have an autoimmune response, and it weakens our immune system over time, which brings up lots of other diseases with a weakened immune system.
Can I eat gluten-free everything?
It's best if you do, you know, a little of something's never going to hurt you. But gluten in general is not good for you. It's stimulating your opiate receptors.
Is that bread and pasta yeah. and
yep.
everything?
They have it all gluten-free now, and now it tastes good.
So it doesn't make it taste bad?
No, it used to when they first started it, but now more and more companies are coming out with it. And I eat gluten-free pasta now. My wife's Italian.
Okay, so note to self, reduce gluten anyway. Okay, now swing it around to what you wanted, the mental health.
Okay, now I'll give you a couple examples. Anxiety disorder is a very big, one of the bigger mental health issues. Well, if you have anxiety disorder, you do not have enough serotonin and melatonin in your body for whatever reason. You could be born that way, there could be a problem, but you don't have enough of it. So my menus not only don't stimulate the opiate receptors and cut down on inflammation, when I get specific with the mental illnesses, my menu for anxiety disorder has the complex carbohydrates that contain serotonin and melatonin and the building blocks for it. So it makes it a little easier for the therapist, because when the therapist is trying to figure out why you have the anxiety, but you still physically have it because you don't have any serotonin and melatonin, it makes his or her job much, much harder. Another easy example, sex addiction. 30 million people have it. A little bit more men than women, but it's pretty close to half and half. Well, when a man has sex addiction, he has too much testosterone in his body. So then you give him foods that don't build up testosterone and have some soy and estrogen in it, which helps negate the testosterone. So it's very easy to do. You just have to study each mental illness and see which things are affecting it.
Well, that actually makes sense. How can people contact you?
Well, my website for this stuff is named, N-A-M-E-D, program. www.mentalhealth.com, and there's a contact through there. And like I said, there's a free menu there for substance abuse that they could see, and then they could read everything on the website, which explains everything. Everything's free unless they went through a therapist and bought the program. And my program's only $20 a month, so it's not like I'm raking it in, because I want lots and lots of people to use it.
Okay, NAMED.
Yep, namedprogram.com.
Appreciate it, and thanks for staying up late at night.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It's Dr. Keith Cantor.
Mm-hmm.
Giving us the, if nothing else, you learn that sugar is bad. I mean, that's a starting place.
And they could email me. They could contact me through the website if they have any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Have a nice rest of the morning, I guess.
Absolutely.
Bye.
We have a minute before the break.